chapter 15. I want to read from verse number 50 this evening. Sticking with our American theme, I want to talk tonight on the last trump. The last trump, and we do trust the Lord will speak through his word as we bring the meeting to a close this evening. Could I mention again, I failed to mention it in the morning, we will be having a baptismal service in the very near future. We have a couple of candidates for baptism. If you're saved and you've never taken this step of obedience, well, if you speak to myself or some of the office bearers, we'll be delighted to include you in that number. And I say that will be happening in the near future in the will of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and reading from verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious and infallible word to our hearts this evening. Following the election triumph of Donald Trump, Michelle Obama was being interviewed by Oprah Winfrey. And she made a statement that was broadcast throughout the world. She said, hope is dead. Hope is dead. As far as the Obamas are concerned, they feel that hope for the United States is dead. I don't know whether that's true or not this evening. Not this evening. I don't know whether Mr. Trump will make America great again or not. But one thing I do know tonight, that my hope is not built on Michelle Obama or President Obama. And my hope's not built on Donald Trump. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Tonight we've read some wonderful verses of Scripture. Verses of Scripture that speak about genuine hope. The Bible calls it a blessed hope, Titus 2 verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's look at this passage very quickly this evening. I want you to see an interesting problem. Notice what it says in verse 50. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now here's a problem we have. It doesn't say flesh or blood. It says flesh and blood, taking the two together. In other words, the way you are tonight, you won't do for heaven. Tonight we're flesh and blood. Blood is the animating force of your life and my life. The life of the flesh is in the blood, the word of God says, and therefore it all depends on the blood this evening. But the way we are won't do for heaven. You can't get to heaven the way you are. Something has to happen. Something has to change. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul talked about the same event that we're going to think about this evening. We call it the rapture. This is what he said. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Those who are asleep are those who have died. And the problem over in Thessalonica was they were concerned about people that died. What happens then when Jesus comes back? Paul says you don't need to worry. He goes on to say that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That word caught up is the Greek word harpizo. It's where we get the English word harp from. And the idea of a harp is you pluck the notes from the strings. It's also used of a harpoon. And a harpoon plucks the fish from out of the river, out of the sea, whatever the case might be. One day the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to the earth and we're going to be plucked out of this planet and we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. Those who have died, they're going to rise first. then we who are alive are going to be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so the question of those who have died, if you have some tonight that you love dearly and they have passed away and they're with the Lord, they were saved, you can be absolutely certain tonight that they're okay and there's going to be a wonderful reunion. Tonight they're with Christ, which is far better. But the question over here in 1 Corinthians 15 is not about those who have died. What about those who are still alive when Jesus comes back? What about them? If our bodies won't do the way they are, and we haven't gone by the way of the death, and remember, those who have died, they're going to be raised incorruptible. They're going to have new bodies. What about us who are alive when Jesus Christ comes back? It's an interesting problem. Let me talk about an imminent prospect. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, because Paul gives us the answer. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, a mystery is not something spooky in the Bible. It's not even something mysterious. It's something that hitherto has never been revealed. What we're talking about tonight in 1 Corinthians 15 is something that you could read from Genesis to Malachi and you won't read about it. Because it's a mystery. It was never revealed in the Old Testament, and now Paul's revealing it for the first time. And what is Paul revealing for the first time? He's revealing a wonderful truth that some of us will go to heaven without having to die. That was never taught in the Old Testament. It wasn't something they thought of in the Old Testament. Yes, Enoch was caught up to heaven. Elijah was taken up into heaven. But it was never taught. It was never the hope of the child of God. When we come into the New Testament, Paul says, here's a wonderful mystery for you. Some people will go to heaven without having to die. What a mystery tonight. It's an imminent prospect. Then you see something momentous as we read on in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. The word sleep there means death. But we shall be changed. We're not all going to die, but we're going to be changed. This body of flesh and blood is going to be changed to a body that's suitable for heaven. If I'm alive, when Jesus Christ comes back, this body won't do. But listen, it doesn't have to do because it's going to be changed. Philippians 3, verse 21. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. What a wonderful change is going to take place. Look down the chapter to verse 54, because Paul explains it a little bit more. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, that's those who have died. Their bodies have corrupted, but they're going to be raised incorruptible. Then he says, this mortal, those who are still alive, shall put on immortality. Our bodies are going to be changed. And not only will we never have to die, we'll never have to die ever. What a blessed thought this evening. What a blessed hope. Those who are alive, when Jesus Christ comes back, are going to be changed and we're going to become immortal. And we'll never have to die. Some of us will cheat the undertaker. Hallelujah, for they're far too dear anyway. You see the mystery. You see the something momentous. Then you see something minute here. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And look how quickly it happens. In a moment. See that word moment, that's the Greek word atomos, where the word atom comes from. When they're talking about an atom, they're talking about something that cannot be divided. It's a unit of time that really cannot be measured. A unit of time that when you have it, you can't make it any smaller. You can't cut it. That's really what it means. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. I don't like Formula One racing. I find it boring. Lap after lap after lap. I lose interest after two laps. But I did read about a race. It's reckoned it was in 1986. Ayrton Senna and Nigel Mansell. And Senna won the race by 1/100th of a second. Now that's a small measurement of time. And I think, and I'm not sure where it's still the case, that at one time it was the closest finish ever. Just 1/100th of a second between Ayrton Senna and Nigel Mansell. It's a small unit of time. What's the twinkling of an eye? Let me say, it's not the blinking of an eye. One professor said it's the time it takes for light to go from the iris to the retina. And they've worked it out, and I don't know how they do these things, and they say it's 1/6 of a nanosecond. Now, what's a nanosecond? A millisecond is 1/1000th of a second. A microsecond is 1/1000000th of a second. Now, you and I can't imagine 1/1000000th of a second. That's what a microsecond is. A nanosecond is 1/1000000th of a microsecond. In other words, a nanosecond is 1/1000000000th of a second. Now, think about that. And according to this scientist, the time it takes for light to move from the iris to the retina is 1/6 of 1/1000000000th of a second. In other words, when Jesus comes back, you've had it. If you're not ready, you're not going to have time to get ready. And practically instantaneously, this old body of mine, if I'm alive when Jesus comes back, will be changed. And I will become immortal in a body that's suited for heaven instantaneously. That's how quick Jesus could come back. Not even the blinking of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye, in 1/6 of 1/1000000th of a second. In fact, I believe it's probably less than that. Because I believe it's the unit of time that cannot be measured. What an interesting problem tonight. What's going to happen to those who are alive? What an imminent prospect. In a moment, almost instantaneously, when Jesus comes back, we're going to be changed. Then you see an instrument played in verse 52. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now what's this last trump? We read over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about the trump of God. That's the same trumpet. When this trumpet sounds, then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. It's a call from heaven. Over in Exodus 19, verse 16, when they sounded the trumpet, the people gathered unto the Lord. That's the idea. It's the idea of gathering the people unto the Lord. And when the trumpet sounds, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to the air, and he's coming to gather his people unto himself. Why is it called the last trump? Well, I've read this in quite a few of the commentaries and some of the historical books, that when the military were settled in the days that Paul was writing, there would be three trumpets that would sound. The first trumpet would sound that they would know to get their tents ready to move. They would take the tent pegs out. That's them ready to go. The second trumpet would sound, and that's them to gather together as the band of people. And then when the third trumpet would sound, that's the last trump, it was time to move out. Time to move out. The first trumpet sounds every time we preach the gospel. And God speaks into hearts, and the Lord's saying to you tonight, if you're not saved, it's time to get the tent pegs out of the earth. It's time to become a child of heaven tonight. It's time to change families tonight. Rather than being a child of the devil, to become a child of God tonight. It's time to be born again, to be saved by the grace of God. It's time to loosen the tent pegs. See, whenever you get saved, you know what the second trumpet does? It brings the people of God together. See, if you're saved tonight, you need to be fellowshipping with God's people. You want to grow. No man is an island. If you want to obey the word of God, you want to be meeting with the people of God. You want to fellowship with the people of God. The first trumpet is to bring the lost into the family of God. The second trumpet brings us together as a congregation of God's people. The third trumpet, the last trumpet, is when Jesus comes and we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. Let me say this, that trumpet could sound tonight. 2017 could be the year of the last trump. There's nothing needs to be fulfilled. There's nothing stands in the way. Jesus Christ could sound that trumpet tonight. During the American Civil War, soldiers had to sleep outside. One night there was a heavy snow, and one of the the padres, one of the chaplains had got up early in the morning, he'd got up to pray, and as he stood and he looked over all the men lying, he could see these little mounds of snow. And all of a sudden, he said it just looked like graves. Then the bugler got up and sounded the morning call. And when the soldiers heard the call, one by one, the men started to get up. He said it just reminded him of this picture when the Lord comes and how the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we who are alive are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. One day it's going to happen. And it could happen tonight. You see the interesting problem. What about those who are alive when Jesus comes back? You see the imminent prospect. Jesus is coming again. Instantaneously, we're going to be changed. You see the instrument playing the last trump. I believe very soon the trump of God will sound. Then you see an important proclamation in verse 54 and 55. We've already read this together. It talks about death being swallowed up in victory in verse 54. You see, at that point, death is beaten. The last enemy to be defeated is death. And it doesn't mean just defeated there and then. It's defeated the whole way back to Adam. And death will be cheated of its prey. It says in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The word sting here is used of a bee sting. I'm told the bee has the sting in its body, and if a bee stings, it leaves the stinger in the victim. And therefore the bee becomes impotent as far as stinging is concerned. He'll still buzz around, but he can't do anyone any harm. Let me say this, and many of God's people know, death still buzzes around us. And we lose some people to death. A few weeks ago I lost a brother-in-law to death. But you know the wonderful thing? He was saved. And I could stand and ask, Death, where is thy sting? You see, the sting for him was put into Christ at Calvary. Oh, death, where is thy sting? See, for the believer tonight, Christ took the sting of death, and sting still buzzes around us, but sting can't really do us any harm. Death can't do us any harm, because when we die, it's going to be absent from the body and we're going to be present with the Lord. You know, Paul goes on to say in this about sin, verse 56, the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. You see, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Our sin has been dealt with. And therefore, death's robbed of its power. The strength of sin is the law. You and I can't keep the law, but then we don't have to tonight, because Christ completely fulfilled the law. In other words, if you're saved tonight, death can do you no harm. All that death is for a Christian is the gateway into heaven. And if you've lost someone that you loved and someone was dear to you in 2017, thank God tonight that you can ask the question, O death, where is thy sting? It was taken in the person of Christ. And death has been robbed of his victory as far as the believer is concerned. But what about you if you're not saved? Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And we're not just talking physical death. We're talking about eternal death. 2016, a lot of people are asking, why so many celebrities that seem to have died? I'm told by those who know about these things that it really isn't the case. We just seem to know more people. Like David Bowie, Muhammad Ali, Terry Wogan, quite a number of famous people that have died in 2016. And maybe you know someone who've left this scene of time in 2016. The big question tonight is not if they have died or they haven't died, but how they died. Did they die in Christ, or did they die out of Christ? That's the big question tonight. This is an important proclamation. Look at verse 57, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Every child of God tonight needs to be
in that place where they can say, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to finish. I want to move on quickly. Because I see an incentive presented here in verse 58. I've been speaking to those who are not saved tonight. And listen, if you're not ready, and the trumpet sounds, you're not going to have time to get ready. You're going to be lost. Let me say to believers tonight, because maybe you're in the meeting and you're saved tonight, but like we were talking this morning, you're stuck in a cave, you're going nowhere. Look what Paul says in verse 58, therefore. See the word therefore. When you see that in the Bible, you ask a simple question, what's it there for? And it's there because right through 1 Corinthians 15, Paul has been teaching. Paul has been teaching about the resurrection, and he's been teaching about the rapture. And he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, because of what I've been teaching, be ye steadfast, unmovable. And the word steadfast means sit tight. That doesn't mean you don't do anything. What it means is you don't give up on the teaching you've heard. That's why Bible teaching is so important. See the word unmovable. The Greek word is kinema, where the English word cinema comes from. Cinema is a motion picture. And really what it's saying is don't be a believer who's motionable or notionable, who's tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Paul says, therefore, in view of what has been taught, as believers, be ye steadfast, unmovable, stand up for God and stand for the truth. And don't be bent in every direction. And some people, because they stand for nothing, they fall for everything. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. But Paul takes it a step further. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. See the word abounding? It means to overdo it. And the same word is used in Ephesians chapter 1 of the grace of the Lord. You see, the Lord overdone it for us, didn't he, when it comes to grace. Paul says we should overdo it when it comes to abounding in the work of the Lord. Notice it's the work of the Lord. How many of God's people do nothing for the Lord? Paul says in view of the truth of the resurrection, in view of the truth that Jesus Christ could come tonight and the trumpet could sound and we're going to be to rise to meet the Lord in the air. In view of this fact, you should be always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then it goes on to say, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, listen, the Lord is no man's debtor. There's a wonderful reward for those who have served the Lord, a reward up in glory for every child of God who faithfully serves the Lord. Now, where are you tonight as we begin 2017? Are you stuck in a rut? Are you huffing? Are you having your own little pity party that we talked about this morning? Paul says, therefore, in view of this great teaching, in view of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Don't sell the truth. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, get busy for Jesus. Is that a word for you tonight, believer? Is that a word for you tonight, backslider? You're stuck in a rut. You're out in the wilderness. You've wandered away from the fold. And the trumpet could sound, the last trump. And you're going to be in a place, yes, you're saved. But you're going to be ashamed when Jesus Christ comes back. Where are you tonight? Sometimes I compare the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to what happens in a metal scrapyard. If you've ever been in a scrapyard, you'll see a huge magnet. And they'll swing the magnet over the metal. And not all the metal, but some of the metal will jump up and stick to the magnet. But some doesn't. And that which doesn't is because it has a different nature to the nature of the magnet. And therefore it's not attracted to the magnet. When Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, all of those who have that divine nature, all of those who are born again, we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air like a giant magnet.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Those who are still out of Christ will be left behind to face the wrath of God. If you're not heaven born, you're not going to be heaven bound. I don't know whether Trump will make America great again or not, but I know about a great one that's coming again. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What if we were to hear the blast of the last trumpet tonight? What way do you stand on the 1st of January, 2017? Will 2017 be the year when you start for heaven? Best to start tonight. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word this evening. Thank you for what we've heard from all who have taken part in the meeting tonight. And Lord, we want to bring it just down to thy word this evening. Lord, Paul has reminded us that one day the trumpet will sound. Lord, what a change is going to take place for every child of God who's alive at that time. Lord, our hearts are heavy tonight. Because there could be some in this meeting tonight, and Lord, they're not going to be caught up, they're going to be caught on. And they're going to be lost for all eternity. Lord, will you speak tonight? Will you bring backsliders back into the fold and family of God? Will you draw the lost to the cross tonight? And what a great night it would be in Rathfrieland. What a wonderful start to 2017. If someone starts the journey to heaven, even tonight. Grant it, Lord, for thy name's sake. Amen. Let's sing in closing. We'll only sing a couple of verses.